Matthew 24. Title of today's message is They Shall Be Taken. Twenty-six. Chapter 24. Actually, let's start, I'm thinking of Luke, because we're going to go there too. Let's start with verse 33, and I'll give you some of the background on this. Notice Jesus says, so likewise when you shall see all these things. So everything before verse 33 is Jesus explaining the question, he's giving an answer to the question in verse 3. Where the disciples came unto him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus gave them an answer in verses 4 through 33, and basically they're the events of the tribulation in chapters 6 of Revelation through chapters 19. And if you will someday read those verses in Matthew, and then go to chapter 6 of Revelation back and forth and compare them through chapter 19 of Revelation. Obviously, I don't have time to do that tonight. But I did tell you last week a little bit about this event, and I wanted to focus on this event that I got my title from, They Shall Be Taken. Because a lot of people teach this, this saying of Jesus about the ark as the rapture, and I want to clarify it's not the rapture. I want to clarify that it's what happens after the second coming of Jesus. Anyway, let's read verses 33 through 40. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for this opportunity to present this tonight. Thank you that Pastor let me and gives me a chance to finish some of the thoughts that I had from last Sunday night. Lord, give me clarity of thought and the verses and accuracy. Lord, these are exciting events that we can see forming now, and we're all excited about the rapture of the church. Lord, we know that if your second coming is near, the rapture is really imminent. It's close. Lord, we just thank you for the salvation you provided for us, and we just ask that you bless the sermon tonight. Lord, I want it to be a blessing to folks that they can be excited about. And we just ask this in your holy and precious name. Amen. Okay, so starting with verse 33 through 40. So likewise, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. So obviously, the generation alive during the last month and year of the tribulation will be very close to his second coming. And that generation won't pass. Now, they won't know the day and the hour, but they'll know. Those that have been listening to us, those that have been listening, they're going to be trying to get into these churches when we're gone and figure out, now, what was that preacher telling me? Okay, so that generation won't pass. It's not talking about the generation of us. And, the rapture is eventual. It could happen anytime. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left, to go into the millennium. That person will be left because they're going to go into the millennial with us. We'll be coming back with Christ. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Let me say shortly, and we're going to show this and develop this in the overhead as we go through it, the PowerPoint, that they're taken not to so good a place. Let's just put it that way. And you might say that might be where they get the saying that it's for the birds. Watch therefore, you know not what or when, what hour your Lord doth come. So this is a warning to the apostles that when you see all of these, the disciples, when you see all of these things that I talked about in chapter 24, you know that the hour is at the door. You don't know the hour in the day, but you know it's pretty close. And you need to be watching. The people that are alive during that time will know that the church has been raptured, at least those have been listening. And they hopefully will be watching and waiting for the Lord. Let me get my presentation going here. Bear with me on that. Okay. Yes, please. You know, it never fails. I had this set up, but I always forget to turn the timer off. And it times out, and you gotta restart everything.
Is that good, or you want to...
That's good, I think. How's everybody doing? Can you see that? Okay, so... Again, the title of my message is They Shall Be Taken, the verses we just read in Matthew 24, where the eagles gather. We're going to develop that. So what is the setting of this event? We covered some of it last week. The rapture occurred almost 7 years prior to this event. This event that Jesus is talking about, where the people are taken and then thrown where there's a gathering of birds, is about right before he's coming. The 7 year tribulation's almost ended. Some are watching and waiting, looking to the second coming, but most are carrying on as in Noah's day. Now, there's nothing evil about getting married and eating, having dinner with your family, but what Jesus means is They don't even know what's coming. They're just carrying on like life as if nothing's happened. They've explained away the millions and millions of Christians that have been raptured, and they accept the very few that listen to us and break into our churches and look at some of these videos and some of these and look at our Bibles and figure it out. They figure, oh, that's what the preacher was talking about. And there will be some that get saved during the very terrible time of the tribulation. So the world has experienced the most horrific events in its history, such as the seven seal judgment. Is this in the way? Anybody? Okay. I'll get that out of your way. All right. So where are we at? Number five. Most men are cursing God for the events. It says when the mountains are falling on them, in the book of Revelation, and the earthquakes are going on, these horrific events that I told you about list number four, most men are cursing God for it. They're not repentant, and they're angry. But there's some that realize the second coming is near, and they are watching, because they took our warning. That's why it's so important for us to be out witnessing to people. We need to be telling them that the times we're living in really do point to the rapture of the church, because we're already seeing an event 7 years from us, the armies of the world gathering against Israel. We're seeing Persia, there's Iran, we're seeing Russia and Turkey all kind of gathering together. Hezbollah's right around Israel already with rockets. So we're seeing all of this. We know that the plans for the temple are there. A lot of the events are there for the rapture. The rapture's imminent. Most men are cursing God. Number six, no man knows the hour, but as the fig tree has leaves. Jesus said, you know, as you see the buds on the fig tree, know that the season is near, that is at hand, even at the door. And then we just read the verse that says, this generation will not pass until all has been fulfilled. So the generation that sees the events in Matthew 24, I like to particularly key in on verse 15, just make a note of that. Matthew 24:15, where it defines the desecration of the temple by the Antichrist, who sets himself up as God, that's foretold in Daniel. Remember, we covered Daniel's 70 weeks some months ago. And we said that we had accomplished all 69 of 70 weeks. And remember, I told you that there's 1 week left in Daniel's prophecy. God has put his stopwatch on. Jesus has risen. We're in the church age. Pretty soon he's going to hit that stopwatch again, and week number, the 70th week is going to start, the last 7 years. And we know that Jesus is referring to that in Matthew. So Matthew, if you will, is a very over-the-top outline of the book of Revelation, chapter 6 through 19. And hopefully you'll see that as we develop some of this. So events before the second coming. The reason I'm going to Luke 17, verse 26, is so you'll see the similarities between it and what we just read in Matthew. So if you will, read with me that top verse, Luke 17, verse 26. And you can follow it in your Bibles if you want to take notes. I always encourage the kids in chapel to do that so they can reference it instead of the concordance doing it for them. It's usually wrong, or sometimes it's wrong. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be the days of the Son of Man. So, just like in Matthew, Luke is recording this, and he's saying right before the second coming of Jesus, people will be totally ignorant, almost delusional. God will send strong delusion of the coming of the Lord, just as the people were before the flood. They ignored Moses' warnings and the signs. Some, however, will remember what we said and be watching. They will want access to our churches. Luke 17:27, continuing, it says, they did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day of Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. People will be the same right before Jesus comes, totally ignorant of what's about to happen. Remember, the flood took away the evil ones. Just something, a little hint of what's coming up here. And the reason I went to Luke is there's another reason. There's a verse we're going to get to at the end of Luke that says, the disciples said, where, Lord? Now, this wasn't recorded in Matthew, but the disciples said, where? Where are they going to be taken? And he answers that question. And I was really excited when I saw the answer, because then I realized, man, the church is already gone. We're in heaven, and we don't have to go through this. No one knew God was going to judge Sodom for their iniquities. They didn't see it coming, so the comparison's the same. Likewise, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat and they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But remember, God's wrath destroyed the evil ones in Sodom. They were taken by the flood in Noah. They were destroyed by the fire and brimstone in Sodom. Verse 29, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Just as righteous Noah and his family were saved from the wrath of God's judgment, so was Lot and his family. You see, the righteous don't face the wrath of God, never did. God will always extend his grace to the righteous. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 9, it says that the righteous don't face the wrath of God. In fact, let's go there so we can read it. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9. I want to read that one to you. When somebody gets there, if you want to volunteer and read it, that would be fine. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. There's another reference in Revelation 3:10 if you want to look at it. And there's many of them. There's many places in the New Testament and throughout that tell us that we're not appointed to his wrath. Okay, what's going on here? Okay, verse 30 in Luke as we continue. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So, The same will be for the second coming of Christ. The righteous will be preserved from the wrath of God, the evil ones taken off the earth. And there it is. God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. Now, let's read the next six verses. I want you to kind of see this all in one setting. In that day. Now, remember the context, that day. The day we're talking about is he's trying to describe the second coming to the disciples and the events leading up to it. The that day in this verse is his second coming, or very close to it. In that day he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away, and he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed, and one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Again, this is not the rapture. He's describing what's going to happen right before the second coming. Two women.
He said at night.
Two women, we're going to get there, shall be grinding together. One shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. Now, here's where Luke's a little bit different. Same event, right? Different writer. Luke has another detail that Matthew didn't, and that's where I'm going. And they answered. The disciples, remember, they were the ones asking him the question. So what are the signs? When? How are we going to know when you're coming back? He said unto them, where, Lord? And Jesus said unto them, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. Now, if you've read the book of Revelation and understand the last war that of the armies that gather around Israel and are going to destroy Israel, and Jesus on the white horse coming back with his saints, Revelation 19. If you understand that, chills go up your spine when you see this, because it talks about how that Jesus, just with his word, the sword of the Lord, right, the word of God, will destroy those armies. And there'll be eagles and fowls of the earth will have what they call the great supper of the Lord. We're going to look at those verses here in a little bit. So this is what it's talking about. Jesus is talking about the eagles where they gather. So when I say they shall be taken, now you know the title of my message explains where the evil men, the unbelievers, will be taken on the earth at the second coming. Revelation 19, by the way, this valley, it says, there's a chapter, and I forget where it's at, but I think it's in Revelation. It talks about how there are so many bodies in that valley. After the fowls are feasting, the blood is up to the horse's bridle. So, you know. Yeah. Yep. So the bodies here are lost. People being taken to unto the supper, it says in Revelation. At the second coming of Christ, the eagles will gather and eat them. Now, some people will get upset, not in our circles. We understand that God is a righteous God. He's a judge, and that he will only deal with man so long and sin so long. And the rapture of the church is his grace and mercy for us. And the wrath being poured out during the tribulation is God's judgment on the earth, specifically the Jews for rejecting the Messiah. Let's look at the context of this gathering. It's a gathering of eagles over the dead killed by Jesus when they try to surround Israel and attack, like I told you during the last war. They are, well, actually there's another war, after the thousand-year reign and Satan's loose, there's another war. Yeah, can you imagine? I mean, after this, the lost that survive and go through the thousand-year reign, they still think they can take the saints and Jesus. I don't know what they're thinking. But it's a gathering of eagles, and they are killed in a great valley, these evil men, these lost souls. They're gathered from all over the world and thrown into the mix to be killed by Jesus and eaten by the eagles or fowls. Now, it sounds really gross and really cruel, But anyone who's read chapters 6 through 19 in the book of Revelation understands it's a judgment never before seen on the earth. There's one part in there, you know, I've had people say, well, you know, earthquakes and pestilences on the increase. I said, no, not like Matthew 24 and Revelation. Every mountain and every island and every hill is leveled. Now, we've had earthquakes, but we've never had a worldwide everything leveled earthquake. So this is a judgment that is really, and I think in a way it's God's mercy, because there's going to come a point this world gets so wicked, the only way to wake up a few, to save just a few of them that may have listened to us, is to bring in the tribulation period. So it may not be as you know, we see it, we view it. God's wisdom. Revelation 19, 11 through 13 says, and I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. This is Jesus. And on his head were many crowns. Not like the Antichrist, who had one crown in Revelation chapter 6. The fake Christ. This one is the real Christ. Many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And as you know, in John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So this is Jesus. Continuing on. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. These are the saints who are in heaven with Jesus during the tribulation. Now, we read a little bit about that last week. We were talking about how that there's evidences throughout the book of Revelation that the saints are in heaven. And I've been covering that with the kids in chapel and trying to tell them the good news is we're in heaven when this is all going on. God's grace, God's mercy. And we know this because it's signified by the white linen, the robes, white and clean, because they've been washed in the blood of Jesus. You know what? I'm just going to get this thing out of the way. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Jesus came the first time as a lamb to die for our sins. He will return the second time to set up his kingdom and rule for 1,000 years with a rod of iron. We talked about that a little bit in Sunday school when we were talking about last week we were talking about the prophet. Come on, help me out. The rod of Jesse, Judah, comes out of Judah. Revelation 19:16, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. This verse tells us that Jesus is returning to be king. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to the glory of God that he is Lord. And I look forward to that day. Do you ever get tired of, it seems like the sinful world out there seems to be getting ahead. They have everything set up. Seems like everything's going for them. And, you know, they curse God. You're out there trying to talk to them. Nobody comes to church anymore. You know, they talk about, well, you know, if the clergy would talk about these things, maybe our society would have hope. They don't come to church to hear the clergy. So, you know, I'm looking forward to that day when this happens. Revelation 19:17-18 says, and I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. Now, this is the gathering place that Jesus spoke of in Luke 17:37, and in Matthew 24, we were talking about it earlier. He just didn't mention it. Well, he does actually mention it in Matthew 24, verse 28. He talks about the eagles gathering there. So if you want to look at it, you can look at that there. So let's compare all of them now on the next slide. This is the same gathering and not the rapture, some teach. All of Matthew 24 is after the rapture. It's the events that happen after it. Now, we can see some of those events forming already and look at it and say, wow, you know, the second coming is getting closer and closer and closer. But try to imagine if an event that is at least 7 years and one day from now is getting closer, how imminent the rapture of the church is. We're right there. So we can look at these events and still be praising God and saying, yes, we're getting close. Revelation 19:17 says, again, we looked at this, so I'm just going to put them up here so you can see them both together. You see the angel standing in the sun. He cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourself. So the gather is of birds, eagles, fowls of the air. And it's called, John wrote it as the supper of the great God. So they're going to have a feast. And they answered now in Luke 17:37, basically the same thing. And they answered and said unto him, where, Lord, where are these people going to be taken that you took? One in the field, one in the bed, one's left. And he said unto them, wheresoever the body is, thither the eagles will gather together. Now, I've had people ask, well, then what about the ones that stay? Those are the ones left behind. I says, it's not like the rapture. See, the ones left behind in the rapture are the lost people, and the saints are raptured to heaven. It's the opposite here. The ones left behind go into the millennial reign. The ones taken are thrown into this valley, this mix, and feasted on. So this gathering, and you know what? It wouldn't work. If you read Matthew 24 again, I encourage you all to do that. If you read Matthew 24 again, and you try to put the rapture where Jesus is talking about this, it doesn't work. So Matthew 24:28, that's where I remember seeing it. For whosoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered. And, you know, Matthew 24 is chronological, but after he gets through this, remember in verse 33, what I told you he said. Now, everything I told you, I just told you, this is what's going to happen. So he goes over it again and summarizes. So it wasn't taking it out of context to do this. You'll have to read it and see what I mean by that. And then the verses we read in Matthew 24:38-41, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So before the second coming, those are the events that you're going to see, and we've covered them already. I just wanted you to see them all together, Luke, Matthew, and Revelation, and see the commonality, the commonality being that there's going to be a great supper, and after the Lord Jesus comes back with us and destroys all those armies that are about to destroy Israel, the people taken are taken to that valley, that great valley, where these birds feast, the great supper of God. Here's how the war unfolds. The saints are Jesus' army, and that was found in Revelation 19:19. I saw the beast, the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Aren't you glad that we're going to be in heaven during the Matthew 24 events? And if you want to look at the events from Revelation 6 through 19, you know, the trumpets or the seals are basically Matthew 24 verses 4 through 9. And those are only the beginnings of sorrows. And you look at those seals and you go, these seven seals are the beginnings of sorrows? They're awful. I mean, really, they are. He says, that's just the beginning. How could it get worse? Then there's the seven trumpets. It gets a lot worse. And then, that isn't even the great tribulation. It's in, I think it's trumpet 5, that mid-trib occurs, the desecration of the temple that we talked about, Matthew 24:15. That occurs. It's after the fifth trumpet and the seven vials. Those are the absolute worst of the worst. That's why they call it the great tribulation. But if you read Matthew 24, and compared to Revelation, now we're seeing that the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies are gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse. How foolish. Jesus, God in the flesh, on a horse, all he has to do is speak the word, the sword out of his mouth, and these armies are destroyed. Continuing verse 20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into lake of fire, burning with fire and brimstone. So before the armies and Jesus touch down and destroy the armies on the earth, he puts the false prophet and the Antichrist into the lake of fire. They're the first guests of the lake of fire. Later on, after the thousand-year reign, the great white throne, death and hell are thrown into the lake of fire. So hell is a temporary storage. Anyway, the Antichrist and the false prophet, that's the second beast who leads the false religion, are cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 19:21, and the remnant, those that remained after all of that, were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Now, I always picture that as the Lord spoke the world into existence. He created the universe in 6 days. He spoke with his word. So I believe that's all he has to do. The armies of the world are destroyed by Jesus. We're just along for the ride. Praise God. We're going to see Jesus get big. We're going to be singing and shouting. They're going to sing a new song. Praise God, Jesus finally had the victory we've all been looking forward to. And we see the fowls feasting again. This is part of the gathering Jesus spoke of in Luke 17:37 and Matthew 24:28, if you just want to, again, just make references in your Bible. Revelation 19:17 and 18 that we compared earlier. So now you can see them all on the screen together. It kind of helps to see them all together, that they're the same event. The evil people are gathered to be eaten. They're taken to a great valley, Megiddo, right? That one. Matthew 24:28. So you can see them all on one screen here. I won't read them again. But you can kind of see they're the same event. Now, I thank Luke for being attention to detail and writing down the curiosity seekers of the disciples' question. You know, they thought to ask, well, where are you taking them? They didn't understand. In fact, the whole dispensation of grace, the whole church age, is a mystery to them at this point in time. None of the Gospels, you won't find the rapture in the Gospels. So when you read those parables, keep that in mind. So what I would have you do, read Matthew 24 again with this viewpoint, and then read the parables after that, you know, the 10 virgins, the talents, all of those, and realize that he's talking about how there are people who are just going to be lazy, and there's no faith. Hey, I didn't believe in the first coming. I'm not doing anything to prepare for the second coming. I don't care what that preacher used to say. Well, he's raptured, he's in heaven. No, I don't. Some power came and took him, you know, some alien. And they're just not going to believe. That's a wicked servant. We know what happens. They'll have their part with the hypocrites. Well, where'd the hypocrites go? That ugly valley, you know, to be eaten by birds. That's not where you want to end up. I plead with people. You know, as I talk about end times, I always plead with them that, you know, we ought to be living like the rapture's tomorrow, because we're going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ for how faithful we were with the things that God gave us in this life. So I hope this is an encouragement to you. You can see these events. They're coming. So what happens next? Well, how much time do I have? After the gathering, which represents the destruction of the world's armies, and the gathering of evil people to one place to be eaten by the fowls of the earth, what next? This is all part of the second coming of Jesus. In the beginning of chapter 20 of the book of Revelation, we see what happens next. So your assignment, you guys writing your assignment down? No. Put that. Matthew 24, now read that again with a different viewpoint, and then read Revelation chapter 19 and 20. Anyway, in chapter 20, we see that Satan is bound for 1,000 years. I'll just read it for you. It's 1 through 3. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that's Satan, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed for a season. Satan's influence will not be felt during the 1,000-year reign. Isn't that great? During the 1,000-year reign, yes, there's going to be some lost people that survived, and they're still going to be mortal, so they're going to have children. And believe it or not, as the population expands, at the end of the 1,000 years, they still somehow believe that the world will be different this time. They'll be able to defeat Jesus and set up their own world. So there's a war after this, after Satan's loose. That's why they mention that Jesus is loose for a season. Satan's loose for a season. Wow. So tribulation martyrs are resurrected. That's the next event. And I really encourage you to read Revelation chapter 20. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast. So there are going to be people that listen to us, and they go, oh, man, I was told don't take the mark. They're going to study it, and they're going to put their faith in Christ. But they will have to endure to the end. So if you ever get somebody that says, well, you know, I'm just going to party, and when that event comes, I'll get saved. Then you don't want to go through this period of time and endure this 7 years. You don't. Get saved now. So this is something you can tell them. They had to endure it. Anyway, they had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, the ones left, I believe, Jesus takes the evil men and he takes care of them with the great supper for the birds. They're for the birds. Those that have listened and watched and were waiting for the return of Christ. They don't know the day or the hour, but they've been listening to us. We warned them. They didn't get saved. They went into the tribulation. They started searching it out for themselves in churches and wherever, and they are living for Christ. They are believers. They've come to realize, oh, man, that preacher was right. Man, I gotta endure to the end. So these people that were left on the earth were left because they're going to go right into the millennial reign with the armies that come, and that's us, Jesus and the armies that come back with. So anyway, that's the good news. The good news is if you don't make the rapture, I guess, and you come to your senses, there's still a way. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. Now, the rest of the dead, what they're talking about there in the book of Revelation, what John's talking about, is that there's a first resurrection and there's a second resurrection. After the 1,000-year reign, the second resurrection occurs. The rest of the dead are resurrected and they stand before the great white throne judgment. And at this point, all their evil deeds are shown, every word, every sin they ever did, because they aren't forgiven, they're lost people, and they're cast into the lake of fire. And death and hell follow, and they're cast into the lake of fire. So, the lost dead will not be resurrected till the end of the 1,000-year reign, and they will be the second resurrection. And I always tell people, you do not want to be part of the second resurrection. You don't want to have that second death. So let's summarize. So the men taken in Matthew 24 is not the rapture, and they're not taken to a good place like we are in the rapture. Matthew 24 is all about the second coming of Christ and the events of the tribulation, that is, God dealing with the nation of Israel. Israel wakes up midway through this, and many get saved. In fact, there's 144,000 that are sealed. But can you imagine Jerusalem's cry? I don't know if you've ever heard the song, but there's a song called Jerusalem's Cry. Some of it's not too doctrinally accurate, but it's a good song. Jerusalem wakes up, and they cry to Jesus, and they realize, oh my God, we crucified the Son of God. Oh God, forgive us. They realize, they come to their senses. And so that's the good news, is that this wrath of God does wake them up. And so in a way, it's merciful. Those that are taken are the evil people removed from the earth. Number four, the Bible says there will be so many killed that the blood of the dead will be up to the horse's bridle. Number five, in Ezekiel, here's a good read for it if you want to read some something that kind of parallels this event. Actually, not chapter 38. I think that's a different war. So read chapter 39 of Ezekiel. That's a misprint. Who is typing this? So it's chapter 39. It states, you know what? It states that it'll take 7 months to clean up the dead, to bury the dead. The stench will be tremendous. It even talks about that. It goes into great detail. You want to see detail on the birds? This is the chapter to read. And it gives you more detail about the war. And it takes 7 years, if you read this chapter, I think it delineates how it takes 7 years for them to clean up all the weapons of war. They're burning the weapons of war during that period of time. They got some work to do at the first part of the millennial reign. I imagine that since we're running the cities and the government with Jesus, that we will have plenty of people that survive the millennial reign, or the tribulation, to do the work for us. So we'll run the government. That's the good news. Number six, Ezekiel predicts that they will burn all the weapons. I talked about that. It'll take 7 years. Number seven, there will be perfect peace on the earth during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Like I said, he came as a lamb the first time. The second time, he comes as a lion. Lion of the tribe of Judah to rule with a rod of iron. Have you ever said, man, I wish the government would do something about that? Well, you don't want our government to do anything about it. They mess it up every time. But the government shall be upon Jesus' shoulder, and you're going to welcome that government. It will be righteous, and the reign will be fair and true. Satan will be locked up, and all evil will have been destroyed. There will be no satanic, demonic influence. Praise God. There will be lost people that survive and have children, only to join Satan, of all things, when he is released for a season, just a small period of time, 1,000 years later. Then there's one final war, and we have all the tears and sorrows and remorse of everything that we ever knew in the past. And I imagine there'll be a lot of sorrows. There'll be relatives that we just saw cast into the lake of fire at the great white throne. So God will wipe away those tears. There'll be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more suffering. And we'll go on into the new heaven and the new earth for eternity. So I think that's it. I think there's one more slide. Just some final notes. Remember Matthew 24, Jesus is answering the question, when shall these things be? And they're asking, when shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? So kind of reread it with that in mind. Reread your parables in chapter 25. I won't go over all of these. But reread all of those parables with this viewpoint in mind. That he's really talking. He's specifically addressing the Jews that are alive during that generation. He wasn't addressing the church age. Otherwise, Paul would be a liar. When Paul said, I reveal to you a mystery of the dispensation of grace and the gospel. Well, why is it a mystery? Because until Jesus revealed it to Paul, no one knew. So reread Matthew 24 and 25, Revelation 19, and there'll be a 100-question test next week. No, just a joke. There's too many. I won't go over them. I guess I got a little happy with the typing here. Anyway, here's your assignment. I already told you. Read Matthew 24 and 25, different point of view. The end. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for the opportunity to go over these exciting verses about your justice is coming. And Lord, we know that everything we've been talking about is right at the door. The armies of the world that we can see already forming. Lord, we can already see some of the events that are going to happen in Matthew 24. The earthquakes are becoming more frequent. There's more wars. Men's hearts are waxing colder and colder. And Lord, we are so thankful that you are going to rapture the church before these events occur. Lord, we don't deserve it. We just thank you for the salvation you provided. And we praise you. And we just ask that you guide us all this week as we go back to work and go back to our friends and our families. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
largest nest.